The regime is obviously and apparently, and we're going to get into this, with the passage of H.R. 1 out of the House of Representatives, and now goes to the Senate. You know, some people are out there going like, Joe Manchin's going to say no. John Tester Montana's going to stand up and say no, he's not going to vote for it. It's going to be a party line vote. It's going to be 50-50, and LaDash is going to break the tie. The bill's going to go into effect. Mail-in ballots from Guam and Haiti and the Virgin Islands and any other Hades forsaken place you could point to anywhere on a globe are now going to be mailed in, and they're going to count. It's going to be illegal now to require ID to vote in any state in the United States. That will be made illegal. Someone shows up on Election Day and demands a ballot or access to a ballot on H.R. 1, you have to say, okay, here, go over here and vote. Not provisional. It's not absentee. It counts just. Look, if they could get Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs out of the mental institution, put him on the refrigerator gurney cart, strap him in there, put the leather gizmo face hockey mask over his face, but leave his mouth open so he can say, I'm here to vote, and was wheeled in by a couple of trustees from the prison, they'd have to let him vote. Biden also signed an executive order yesterday making registration to vote in prison. Now, the law of the land. Now, I said this on yesterday's Mike Church Show. I'll say it again for the few people that are tuning in these days. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think they're doing all this? If you're so popular and you've got the most votes in history, and everyone from Bangor, Maine to Baja, California, and from Seattle, Washington to Key West, Florida, and everywhere in between loves you more than they've ever loved any president in history, and loves the Congress, the approval ratings are through the roof, and what? Why do you need new voting laws? The old ones seem to work pretty well for you. Why do you need new ones? Why do you need guarantees that felons and illegal aliens and people that are even dead and children now, 16-year-olds, dude, can vote? Why do you need all this? Obviously, the answer is they didn't win these elections, and they know they didn't win them, and so let's make permanent the theft. Let's make the theft permanent and impossible to overcome. They want to make it legal so they don't have to cheat next time. They don't have to lie. They don't have to steal. And I don't know why. These people thrive on sin. So why they don't want to sin anymore is beyond me. But they basically want to make their sin and their theft and their illegality legal. And they want to ensure a permanent regime, majority. It'll never be compromised. Now, the irony and the inconvenient fact or truth of all this is that the makeup of America with Biden's installation as regime leader did not change. If anything, it got more divided and more bifurcated than it was. Miniature plate. What is the bicarbonate soda? What? My more what? Bifurcated. Divided. More divided than it was before. The battle lines have just grown more clear and more clear to the point. And I'm telling you, you can ask Richard Barrett of the Barrett Brief Show. You call him today at 844-527-8723 or ask him in the chat room. He spends more time on the Twitter than I do, and then Mitt O'Connell does. And he can bear personal witness. He can tell you, dude, people by the millions have left media, social media. They've left it. I'm serious. Twitter is a tumbleweed-laden wasteland. You're watching on Crusade TV. You didn't see the little tumbleweed come across the screen. It's an absolute wasteland. But let me get to the political point here. Let me make a point here that if you're listening or watching on Crusade TV, that you can understand easily. They're making voting irrelevant. Doesn't matter anymore. If you're dumb enough to go to the polls, maybe for a local election that won't have as many Democrats hanging. I mean, look, in some places where there are deep crimson red counties, they're not going to try this. Because even appearances, physical appearances, we go like, there's no Hispanic and black people in this district, yet there's absentee votes from 5,000 who don't even live in this county. They won't try it in crimson red places. And look, they don't need to. They're going to spend, this is truly, folks, I hope you realize that today, this day, what is today? March the 9th, right? 9 March in the year of our Lord and Savior, Anno Domini 2021. If the human race is allowed to survive, if God gives us another chance and goes, all right, you idiots, one more chance and that's it. And if there is still life on earth in 150 years, 200 years, this day today and this era, this epoch that we live in is going to be a chapter in a history book, and it's going to be a rotten chapter, and it's going to be filled with remorse and regret and sorrow and sadness. And at the same time, you don't want to do what they did then. We are living amongst the future villains and villainesses of history. Wrap your mind around that. Cleopatra lives down the street from you. Hitler's a little boy right now. He's getting ready to graduate high school right now. Maybe he just did. Little David Boss Hogg may be auditioning to be Stalin. The evil, the demons are ascended. They come for the children. They won't take no for an answer. I say this in preparation to discuss, well, what are you going to do? Yeah, King Dude, what are we going to do about it? Well, there's so few people that I have any contact with anymore. I have to wake up in the morning and convince myself, okay, go in and do it. Yeah, but no, dude, just don't look at the numbers of the stats. Just go in and do it anyway. It doesn't matter. Maybe I'll get a little a sentence in a history book in 200 years. Withdraw all resources, all of your private permission, all of your acquiescence, if you will, in any way, shape, or form that you are comfortable with doing from those entities. And just start telling people they don't have any authority here. Look, when you make a cabinet-level position called gender, cabinet secretary for gender policy, and you actually are sitting there going like, well, God screws up all the time and all these people are in the wrong bodies, so we have to have an office of gender policy to put them in the right bodies, and that's what they're talking about doing. It's over, folks. Wait, what is exactly left to salvage here? Again, they have the buildings, they have possession of them, and they don't plan on giving them back. Let them have them. Do you care? I don't care. Let them have it. Used to be a television commercial on here in the New Orleans area. Gosh, we had a golden age of TV for about 20, 25 years. And there's so many, before cable came along and screwed everything up. You had your three local channels, your ABC, NBC, CBS. I guess at the end you could throw Fox in there, four networks. And then you had your UHF. You had your Channel 26 and Channel 38. Channel 26, the oldest UHF channel, WGNO here in New Orleans. And WGNO had all of the local charm and charisma and flavor to it. They even had a game show called Know-It-Alls, N period, O period, it all. It was a Jeopardy game for New Orleans trivia. There was enough of it. In any event, what are the television commercials? And this was actually shown on other TV, on CBS and the ABC and NBC. It was for a guy that owned a furniture store. And the furniture store was in the infamous or famous, depending on whose side you're on, Ninth Ward in New Orleans, one of the places that Katrina completely flooded and took out. It's still not been rebuilt. Whenever they show slum shots of New Orleans, tracking shots where they're driving down dilapidated neighborhoods, they still have big giant red X's painted, spray painted on the doorways. 15 years later, that's the Ninth Ward. So this furniture store in the Ninth Ward was, I'm trying to remember the name of, St. Claude Furnitures on St. Claude Avenue. And the TV commercial was a guy that would come on with the big gregarious, ugly leisure suit and would say, "Oh, I got this brand new shipment in there, y'all, of this beautiful Lazy Boy recliner and this love seat and this beautiful couch." And then a woman walks in and goes, "I really want that for my baby and I in our house over there on Frenchman Street, but I don't think I can afford it." And then the guy would come back and go like, "Whoa, no, you shouldn't say that. You got to go see the special man." And then they cut over to a guy who was even more gregariously dressed with a, see how I have my little my little sash pocket here, my lapel pocket. He'd have a big giant one, gaudy fluorescent stuffed into his. He'd have a big old fedora hat on. And he'd have smoking a cigar indoors. The cigar was actually lit. And they cut over to the special man. The special man would get chomp on his cigar, blow a puff of smoke out and go, think about it for a second and go, "Let her have it."